In a realm where monsters prowl beyond magical barriers and politics are as deadly as claws, one young woman's journey begins with nightmares she can't escape. Orlith wakes screaming each night, haunted by visions of failing to protect her brother from monstrous beasts with crystalline claws. These aren't mere dreams. They're fragments of memories from a past she can't fully recall. Rescued as a child by High Master Rorden after a Vrook attack decimated her family, she's lived in isolation within Stony Stem, a weathered tower jutting from Castle Noir's northern face. Her world is defined by frosted glass windows, ancient tomes, and the black crystal necklace Rorden gave her, a talisman that makes her look different while concealing her true nature. The continental landscape around her spans four territories: Frozen Frist with its ice shamans, Merchant Rich Roost with floating markets, Coastal Bahari with mysterious deep-sea temples, and militaristic Okreth, whose armies guard the safety line against monsters. Beyond this magical barrier roam packs of Vrooks, Shadowstalkers, and Frostwraiths, creatures that make travel a deadly gamble. Even Castle Noir itself harbors secrets within the tangle, a maze of corridors that shift and change as if possessing consciousness. What happens when the only identity you've ever known begins to crack like ice beneath your feet? When the person who saved you might be the one who's truly dangerous? My name is Siren. These words mark Orlith's reclamation of her stolen identity. She discovers she isn't human, but Aishlian, a race with opaline skin, iridescent hair, and crystal thorns on their ears. Her black crystal necklace creates a magical disguise, protecting her from those who would harm her for her true nature. When her necklace is damaged during an attack, an uncontrollable power erupts from within. Black vines spread across her shoulder, producing a crystal bloom, a physical manifestation of her true self that fills her with revulsion. Discovering everything about yourself was fabricated to hide a supposedly monstrous truth forms the emotional core of Orlith's story. She develops coping rituals, like dragging metal utensils against each other to create sounds that help her maintain control. The mystery deepens when Della mistakes Orlith for her supposedly dead daughter, Viola, raising questions about Orlith's origins and whether her appearance was altered beyond concealing her Aishlian features. Orlith's sheltered life ends when a sea journey turns disastrous after a crew member harpoons a silver-scaled creature that attacks in retaliation. Following the shipwreck, High Master Kanan rescues her, explaining he sacrifices blight-infected ships to prevent disease spread. The needs of many outweigh the screams of few. In Bahari, Orlith learns she must undergo a coupling ceremony with Kanan for a political alliance and pass the bowl test by climbing from a smooth-sided pool. While appearing compliant, she secretly researches her true nature and secures ships for Rorden. When Rorden arrives, his rivalry with Kanan surfaces. Kanan suspects Rorden of being an Unseelie, a supposedly extinct race that feeds on life force, forcing Orlith to question her guardian's true nature. To survive, Orlith strategically maps guard rotations, identifies corrupt officials for potential bribes, and discovers ancient escape tunnels. She maintains a small medicinal garden that connects her to her past while securing her future. I don't hate you at all. I just love you so much it hurts. You're the happily ever after I don't deserve. These words reveal Orlith's conflicted feelings for Rorden. Their relationship evolves as she matures, creating a forbidden attraction complicated by power dynamics and secrets. When Rorden follows Orlith to Bahari, their encounters become charged with both attraction and anger. During confrontations, his silver hair and eyes sometimes bleed to black, tattoos igniting with electric light, revealing his true nature. Orlith's brief physical encounter with a stranger leaves her feeling both liberated and hollow in her struggle with intimacy. Meanwhile, Malachi connects to the silver-scaled sea creature, while his relationship with Vicious deepens upon discovering they share the same non-human nature. She has gills behind her ear. These relationships explore different facets of intimacy and belonging, reflecting the complex emotional landscapes of wounded characters seeking genuine connection despite being taught to hide their true selves. Secrets and lies form the foundation of relationships throughout this world, weaving a complex web with potentially devastating consequences. Warden's greatest deception, concealing Orlet's true nature, claims to be protection, but reveals itself as control. Her horror manifests viscerally. As realization dawns, I think of the room in Castle Noir with the table and the hole in the middle. What's been below that hole this entire time? Orlet becomes a masterful deceiver herself, adapting personas like masks. With Kanan, she projects an acquiescent bride while secretly securing ships. Her friendship with Gale shatters upon revealing their tragic connection. Gale's father orchestrated Orlith's brother's murder, while Orlet, unknowingly, caused the death of Gale's parents in an uncontrolled fire. Her body rebels through nosebleeds, vomiting, and panic attacks. The black vines spreading across her shoulder symbolize the corruption of secrets growing with each lie. The novel shows how secrets, initially protective, eventually exact an unbearable toll. Only through truth can characters forge genuine connections and heal. Power manifests throughout the story in political authority, physical strength, magical abilities, and emotional influence. Orlith's journey involves harnessing her power while navigating limiting systems. Her most dramatic transformation reveals her true Eshlian form, golden light erupting from her skin, wings unfurling like molten metal, her voice carrying ancient magic. These transformations mark irreversible changes in character and plot. When Orlet cuts the crystal bloom from her shoulder, she severs part of herself from fear while demonstrating determination to control her destiny. Power dynamics constantly shift between Orlet and controlling men. With Kanan, she plays the compliant bride while secretly planning escape. With Rorden, she moves between submission and defiance, their relationship evolving from captor-captive to something more complex. The novel suggests true power comes not from controlling others, but from embracing one's authentic self. Small moments, like when Orlet allows her crystalline tears to fall freely, demonstrate her journey towards self-acceptance. By the novel's conclusion, Orlet begins reclaiming her identity as Saren. This journey isn't linear. She experiences breakthroughs, followed by regression into self-loathing, mirroring trauma's cyclical healing process. Her declaration, "I'm Saren," defies the names others have assigned to her. Though her future remains uncertain, she has clearly begun integrating her fragmented self. Her growing acceptance of her Eshlian abilities, especially her connection to Crystal Gardens, symbolizes embracing her complete identity. Aren't we all reconciling our public persona with our true selves? Orlet's journey shows that self-acceptance means integrating conflicting parts into a coherent whole. In a world demanding conformity, perhaps the most radical act is to bloom authentically, thorns, crystals, and all. When we stop fighting our nature, our supposedly monstrous aspects reveal themselves as unique sources of beauty and power.